Well, good morning. Good morning. Kids, third to fifth grade, you guys are dismissed for kids' work. You can go back with, it looks like Mr. Joe's heading back there, so that's excellent. Thank you, Garen. And as they are heading out, I'd like to welcome you this morning, especially if you're a guest with us. I hope that you find Crossbridge as a welcoming place. I hope that by the time you leave today, you would have been challenged in your faith one way or the other to take one step in the direction of Jesus. And this morning, we're going to be continuing our series on parenting and how to find balance when it feels like there's none. We kicked off the series last week, and, you know, I felt like it went pretty well, at least from my perspective. I felt super convicted yelling at my kids on the way home, and so that was great. And you know, this morning I feel like we're really ready to jump in and continue in this process of talking about what the Bible has to say about parenting. And I need to be upfront with you this morning. And I need to be upfront by telling you that this has been a very difficult message for me to prepare. And most of it's because I don't like usually preparing messages that are very convicting to me. You know, if it's convicting to you, that's fine. I don't have to really deal with that too much. But when it really hits home for me, those are ones that I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have to go after this one. And so this morning, if you feel like as we start to go through some of this stuff and you're like, man, Jimmy's really being tough. I'm not going to apologize. I'm just welcoming you into the toughness of my week, okay? This has been a difficult week to process through this. And if you're like, man, this is tough, I've been asking that same question myself, but more of God and saying, God, why are you so passionate about this parenting thing? Why do you care so much about this that you would say this over and over and over? Now, for many of you, you know that I love to work out of one of our local coffee shops in the area. I'm a coffee junkie, and so I find myself with nice, you know, dark black coffee, and I will sip that all morning and afternoon as I write and as I read. And at this coffee shop, I love it because I get the chance to meet so many people. And our area is filled with some very unique personalities. I mean, from all over the world, in all sorts of vocations. And as conversations just happen when I'm sitting there, you know, it's not too long till you have the obligatory, so what do you do? Question. And I love it because I never ask that question first. I always like to see their reaction when they ask it. And they say, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor at a local church. Oh. They don't know what to do with it. It's kind of fun because it's like, that's like a full-time thing? Like you do that? That's like your job? Yeah, it's like my job. You could do like 40 hours of that stuff? Like on Tuesday, you know, it's very funny. They don't really know what to do with it. Or I get the, you know, I'm a pastor. Oh. And I know that there's something in their story where they've been burned by church. And for me to kind of discover that is going to be fun. I love that. When I get that chance to ask them, so what do you do? Instead of the, oh, like we normally do to each other, I've learned to ask a new question. And that question that I ask is, wow, do you like that? Do you enjoy what you do? And this is when faces scrunch and the real stories come out. There are so many in this area who hate their jobs. They just hate their jobs. They cannot stand what they do. And it's usually for two reasons. The first reason is because they make a decent amount of money. And in that vocation, they don't like what they do, but they've become accustomed to a certain paycheck that they get every week, and they don't want to give that up, so they just deal with it. As depressing as that is to me, the second reason breaks my heart. Because the first reason's a choice, the second one, it runs so much deeper. And I'll say, do you like what you do? No. Then why do you continue to do it? You know, my parents have pushed me in this direction ever since I was a kid. They knew what they wanted me to do, and I didn't really have a choice in it. But I have to do it because they've been directing me to do this. I'm talking to doctors, lawyers, financial professionals, teachers, pastors, engineers, who would rather be auto mechanics, artists, writers, or anything other than the perceived nightmare that they are in. And here they sit, adults with their own lives, their own families, living out what mom or dad, or maybe aunts and uncles, grandparents have imputed on them as what the direction for them should be. Well, I look at this situation and I feel bad for that person I'm talking to. Recently, I've had to start to ask myself the question, Jimmy, are you pushing your kids in the direction that you want them to go? Or are you really respecting the otherness of your kids? Are you respecting the fact that they've been created in God's image and God has something different for them than He has for you? And while you feel like you might know what's best, what if you don't? I don't like that question. And I'll tell you why I don't like that question is because I push my kids in directions that I feel like is best for them. I feel like I know what's best for my kids. I see their wirings and I know what their passions are. And I think, well, if I push them towards that way, they'll be more successful. They'll make more money. They'll be happier. And I don't know that I always allow my kids to freely express who they are and pursue those passions. It's really hard not to push our kids in the direction that we want them to go. We have these hopes and we have these dreams for them. But I wonder how much of that is wrapped up in us and in our own insecurities and our own loss of dreams that we may have had. I feel this tension as a parent. I feel this tension as I talk to other people about parenting. This is an issue. And we always wonder, how will I know then if I'm doing the right thing with my kids? Am I pushing them in the right direction? Can I give you a frustrating little piece of advice here? You probably won't know. You won't have any idea if you're doing the right thing with your kids and if you've been a successful parent, most likely until they're adults. And you see the families that they live in and they hold and that they run. How do they interact with business people? You won't know that until they're in that situation. So it makes me wonder then, how do we set our kids up with the best chance of being healthy, successful adults? Because it has to start right now. I am thankful that the Bible has something to say about this. And this morning I'd like for us to look into a passage found in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. If you have your Bibles with you and you're looking for Proverbs, if you open up to the dead center of Proverbs and then go, dead center of the Bible, you'll probably come to Psalms. It'll be one book to the right and we'll be in chapter 22. And if you've never read Proverbs, it is an amazing book. The easiest way to describe the book of Proverbs today is it's 31 chapters of tweets. It's 31 chapters filled with tweets. It's these one-liners that you're like, oh, that's good. If you want to sound extremely smart this week, just open up to Proverbs and copy one of them in. You don't even put the verse, you know, reference in there. People are like, wow, they're smart. You can just go for it. It'll be great. And you're putting a Bible out there, which is wonderful. It's written by a man whose name is King Solomon. King Solomon is the wisest of all men who have ever lived. God gave him the gift of wisdom and he compiles it into these 31 chapters. And in these 31 chapters, tucked away in chapter 22 and verse 6, to me is his ideal, his wisdom for parenting. This is what it says. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. This is a great verse, and before we pull it apart, I need to remind you that the book of Proverbs is wisdom phrases. This is not a book of promise phrases. Okay, if you look throughout the Bible, God's going to say things at different times that are promises, and when God promises something, He always comes through. There's not one promise he has ever broken or will ever break. That's not in his character. But what we have here is a wisdom verse. This is not a promise verse. So I kind of look at this and think to myself, this is the verse that I want to use to give my kids the best percentage of being a great adult. If I do this, I've got a much higher percentage of them being successful or excellent, maybe even honoring mom and dad as they get older, than I do if I don't do this. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is not one of those promises, because I'll be honest, I know I have met with parents who I look at and think, I wish I could be a parent like you. Oh my gosh, you were unbelievable. And their kids still go a different direction than they intended. So while it is not a promise verse, it's kind of a, you know, best chance, best practice verse. It starts with the verb start. And this is a word that could also be translated train up or dedicate. And I believe it's important for us to mention this when it comes to our culture today, because we have a very unique way of looking at the word start. We actually have a culture that loves starting things. This is what New Year's all about, right? We reset and we restart. So we'll start a diet plan. We will start a budget. We will start, pick things. We start all sorts of things, reading plans, exercise plans. My favorite is, how many books have you started, but maybe not finished, right? I got a stack of started books. We're good starters. But this word here, start, has a lot more to do with than just begin. This word is about training. It is about dedicating. It's bigger than starting. And I believe I need to mention that because we don't have a culture that's hugely dedicated to finishing things. Usually when it gets hard, we jump ship and do something else. Or we think to ourselves, if I start it in that direction, or if I start something, it will stay the course, and I won't have to pay any attention to it anymore. When it comes to the verbs dedicate and train, there is a different intensity involved. We're no longer just starting, but we are following through. We are paying constant attention. We're adjusting and readjusting to make sure we're still headed towards the target that we want to go to. That's what this training, this starting word, is all about here. I have a friend in my development who's training for the Boston Marathon on the 18th. And every time I'm with this guy, I feel insecure, number one. It's like, wow, you just ran like 18 miles today. Yeah, it was a light day. I'm like, what? I see his posts about interval training. I see what he eats. And I know that everything this man does is dedicated to making sure that he can accomplish the goal that he has set out before him to beat his personal record on his umpteenth marathon, but it doesn't happen haphazardly. He started his training, but he's had to readjust and adjust. I don't think he expected to run in a blizzard yesterday. So you got to readjust. It doesn't mean it ends. You just readjust. That's what this is all about. And we have some marathon runners here at Crossbridge. You understand this training, this dedication. And King Solomon is using this same word, start. Dedicate, train, when it comes to our intention in parenting. This is what parents do. They start. They dedicate. They train. And notice that it is not the child's responsibility to dedicate and to train. It's ours as parents. It's ours as parents. We are responsible for starting, directing, and training our children. No pressure, right? I know I brought this up last week, but the Apostle Paul says it so well that I feel like it's worth repeating. In Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "Fathers," and this again can be translated parents, "do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up." Okay, this bring them up is train them, raise them. Raise them to do what? What's this end goal? Well, we need to train them in the instruction of the Lord. This is the end result. This is what it is all about. Parents, we have the job, the role, the responsibility of starting, training, and dedicating our children in the instruction of the Lord. It's mentioned in the Old Testament by King Solomon, the wisest man ever. It's repeated in the New Testament by Paul. I'm going to argue that I think God cares about how we parent and what direction we parent our kids in. And if we want to do it, correctly, it's going to take some intentional dedicating and training. And this isn't something that we just start the day we become parents and can walk away from there. I think the moment any of our kids are born, we have the best intentions and we're like, these guys are going to change the world. And the day later, it gets so hard when they won't sleep. And you think, I can't do this. No, if we are going to do this right, we need to stay focused, adjust our parenting, our styles, our discipline, all of that when it's needed. Does that make sense? Yeah? All right, I really feel like I have to stop for a second because as I say that, I have an overwhelming sense that some of you are overly exhausted this morning. Parenting has wiped you out. You're done. And I want to encourage you not to give up. I want to encourage you this morning quickly, and this isn't anywhere in my notes. This is like bonus material, okay? You're exhausted, and I see it. I see how tiring this is because I feel it myself, and I simply want to encourage you, do not give up. Dedicate yourself, we talked about it last week, to your own relationship with God, and God will fuel you to parent your kids, maybe even your grandkids well. Do not give up. Do not grow weary. Do not throw the towel in and think there's no hope. I can't do it anymore. They win. They do not win. They're not in authority. You are in authority, and God has given you the spirit of authority in your kids' lives to direct them, to train them, to point them in the direction of the instruction of the Lord. It is worth every ounce of energy you have because when they leave, they are gone. It's worth investing everything you have, not into what they're doing, but into who they are. It's worth the time. Do not give up. Please do not give up. Proverbs 22. The second word that is used is children. And in the Hebrew word here, children is very unique because we think children and we automatically go towards infants and toddlers. And, you know, as they get a little older, we have this funky term of teenagers, which is not traditional in history. We have sectioned our kids off. Teenage years, I mean, they're in this funky spot of developing and growing. And it's one of my favorite, you know, groups of years ever. But this word children here in the Hebrew actually comes to a place where it goes from infants to young adults. Okay, it spans this time frame here, and it has much more to do with position than it does age. Okay, so if someone is in the position where they are still at home, scripturally here, that's who King Solomon's talking about. You're at home with mom and dad, you're still a child. And so the responsibility of a parent is on that child until they leave the home. The responsibility isn't left, it's still on them. So, you know, start your children. It's bigger than just this age range that we would say, oh, well, when they're little, but when they're teenagers, I just need to survive. That's the word that most people use with teens. And I want to tell you, I'm excited that next week, Bob Raconda's coming in, his wife Julie, and I was talking to him this week about the just how do you deal with the circus that is from, you know, just prepubescent all the way through to your kids are adults. And he's run the gamut of how to parent. What do you do? I can't wait next week to learn from him and his wife about how this works as kids get older. So I don't want to steal his thunder on that. But this instructing, this directing doesn't stop as our kids get older. As a matter of fact, I'd argue that it becomes even more important as a parent to have a voice into their life. We have to have a voice. Because I don't know about you, but I did not always make the best decisions in my life. And while my parents were pretty active for me, I still made choices that landed me in police departments, suspended from school, and all other situations that you'd rather not see your son in. They're great stories if you want to go out for coffee. I'll share them. But I know that in those moments, as I'm sitting looking at an officer, I need my dad's wisdom. I need my mom's comfort in that. I need the direction because I obviously have not made the best choice to land me in that seat. When I'm suspended and I'm like, oh, I get to watch TV for a couple days. Oh, no, not in my house. There's a price to pay. It was corrective. It was instructive. I needed that redirection and that dedication from my parents that they did not give up on me. But this can get out of hand really quick, can it? When we've been tasked with starting and directing our kids, which is truly God's desire, I think we forget that the goal is training them and instructing them in what God has for them. We start to direct and we start to train them in the ways that we would have them go. And here's the dangerous part, because as parents, like we talked about last week, we have an authority over our children that God has given us. And they listen to us. So before they can ever really make decisions for what they want to do, we can direct them. And we get to, but they trust us. So when they're young, they do trust us to direct them. I'd even argue that they want us to direct them. So what's the problem with that? The problem is that if our personal and spiritual lives are all messed up, our kids will absolutely pay the price for that. They'll pay the price for that. If we aren't in a place where we understand what God's plan and will is for our lives, how in the world do we direct our kids to a place where we say, this is what God's will is for your life? It's different than mine. We can't. And we try to, maybe with the best of intentions, direct them, but who knows where we're sending them? So what does God want from us as parents? Start your children off on the way they should go. And even when they're old, they will not turn from it. And fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't intentionally drive them nuts. Instead, be intentional about training them with the instruction of the Lord. We are called to dedicate ourselves to bring our kids up in the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did He instruct? He instructed us to love each other. He instructed us to spend dedicated time alone with God. He demonstrated that. He instructed us to give freely without expectation of anything in return. He instructed us to forgive one another, to serve the people around us, to work at your job like you're working for God, to honor your boss, to honor your co-workers, to surround yourselves with people who pursue God. He commanded us to honor our fathers and our mothers. He commanded us to be faithful to our spouse and to our spouse alone. I want my kids to know this stuff. This is what I want. I believe it's what you want as well. These were the things that were important to Jesus. These were His instructions, and they take tons of training because they don't come natural. They're not natural for us. So why would we expect that they would be natural for our kids? It takes time to train and to focus. And unfortunately, in our culture today, both inside and outside of families who would call themselves Christian families, and I'll let you define that however you want, we mess this up. These aren't our priorities. What we train our kids with today is so different. And I'll be honest, I'm going to give you the secret formula right now to determine what's most important for your life and what you're training your kids in. You ready? This is like super high tech. The more time we spend doing something, the more important it is to us. The more time we spend doing something, the more important it is to us. I know that's like really big. What do you spend your time doing? What do we let our kids spend their time doing? What are we training them as to be the most important? Is it a screen that they sit at when we're sitting at dinner? What do we train our kids in? What makes us or you, if you say, I want to pursue Jesus with all my life, what makes your life look any different from anybody else's when it comes to your time, energy, effort, and resources? Because where you spend your time says this is what's most important to us. And we're all going to waste our time. I get that. But I'd argue that this is our most limited resource that we have. It's one of the things that we find most valuable. So how do we not waste it? Because we just are. I believe we're wasting our time on things that don't matter. And we do that because we don't have the focus on what we should be doing. We don't know how to instruct our kids in the ways of the Lord because we ourselves aren't doing this. And really quick, I don't want to harp on any, like, here's where you stink at using your time, because this is what's been most convicting to me. Where do I spend my time? You know, I think about how much time, you know, when one of my kids kicked a soccer ball to me when they were two, and I'm like, the next, you know, they're the next Ronaldo. Like, he kicked it. He's like, Jimmy, he tripped over the ball. But I saw something. And so we, as a culture, what do we do when we see a glimmer of something in our kids? Well, we start to train them up in that, don't we? We spend all this time, money, and effort carting them to God knows where in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania, and Delaware to tournaments and to recitals and to this and to that. And you know what? It sucks up all of our time. And I wonder if God looks at it and he just says, is this what's most important? Jimmy, is this really what's most important for your kid's life? And I could justify it, but God, this teaches them discipline. This teaches them teamwork. They need these things. They are important. The sports that our kids are in, these are excellent. They're excellent. When our kids are taking voice lessons and theater lessons and doing all these things that are wonderful for them, yeah, these are great. But when they become the priority in our lives, we have lost our job, our role, our responsibilities as a parent as to what is most important. And we let our kids dictate our schedules. Enough is enough. You rule the roost. You've got the watch. They can't drive the car. We let them dictate our schedules. And if we don't create healthy boundaries in our family, everyone else will create the boundaries for us. Respect your family enough to say no to things, to be intentional about training them up in what is godly. That means a rearranging of your schedule. I know that because it means a rearranging of my schedule, and I hate it. I don't like this. Does that mean we stop all sports and activities and all that stuff? Absolutely not. But enough is enough with living our dream through our kids. Let them be kids. How about we train them how to love people? How about we train them how to forgive people? How about we train them on how to read the Bible and actually understand what it means so that as they get old, this is what influences their life, not living in the glory days of, do you remember when I scored that goal? Because I know this may be a shocker to many out here. Your kids and mine will probably not go pro. All right, so I'm just going to say that right now. So when we yell at them on these soccer pitches or when we yell at them playing baseball or whatever, they're probably not going pro. So what are they learning? It's time to reevaluate. It's time to rethink. We do this with education. I mean, gosh. Is it more important that our kids get straight A's so they can get into a great school so that they can get a great job and they can make lots of money? Because that's left a lot of people in great position right now. Right? Let's just be real. Our kids are going to grow up. And Lord willing, they're going to be great businessmen and businesswomen. Lord willing, they're going to be husbands and wives and fathers. And I don't know about you, but I would rather my kid be the best wife or the best husband, best mother, best father than the best businessman or woman. Because jobs change. Parenting doesn't. What are we training our kids in? Told you I was going to get a little fired up. Sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. None of these things are bad things. They're important things. But the question I leave you with this morning is, are they the most important? When we point them towards God, and they're following us as we follow God, they will begin to love deeper, to forgive greater, to focus better, and lives will be changed around them. I want that for my family. I want that for my kids. I want that for my grandkids. And I parent now from a position of thinking, how will my grandkids benefit from this? And when we continue to bring up godly, real, truthful instruction, and we put that into our kids' lives, we have the best chance of, I believe, being intentional when they're adults, that they'll come back to us. This last year for me has been a transitional year. And my dad has been that voice of instruction and trust for me since I've been a young man. And he's always been there. And I found myself this year, as we talked about our marriages, as we're out on the golf course together, Dad, what do I do in this situation? Because I feel like I'm being a jerk. And I don't know how to fix it. Talk about parenting. Dad, how did you not wring my neck? What did you do to get through this? Because I don't feel like I'm doing this the best. We've talked about major job transitions for both of us. We've talked about purchasing houses and how to deal with siblings. And Dad, how do you honor your mom and dad? Because I want to honor you guys this way, and I don't know if I'm doing it well. I can have these conversations. Do you want to know what the very first thing he asks me is every single time? Have you prayed about it? What is God saying to you about this? I used to get really mad at him for that until I realized he's been training me to go to God. He's been instructing me at every juncture of my life. What God says about this is more important than what I feel about this. And when I've prayed about it and say, you know what, Dad, I feel like God's saying this, he says, I confirm that. That is right. Go do it. Or I say, Dad, I feel like God's saying this. He's like, do you feel like God's saying that? Or that's what you want him to say? I'm like, well, now you're asking more bad questions. But can I tell you, in my mid-30s, I go to my dad. It's still there. I want, when my kids are older in their families, that they can go to mom and dad. Because they trust us, because we've instructed them in the ways of the Lord. So, where are you directing your kids? If you took an inventory of your time, what's the most important? Take an inventory of your children's time. What's most important? Because that's what they'll go after. I want my kids to go after God. I want your kids to go after God. Because that will change lives forever. That's our direction. And we do it together. Will you pray with me as our music team comes back up? God, I confess to you that I stink at this. That it's much easier to direct my kids towards convenience. And I ask you to forgive me for that. Please forgive me, because I don't do this well. And I ask, God, that for me personally, for every single parent who's in this room right now, that you would give them the insight, God, that you'd give them the gall and the chutzpah, the push and the drive to say, I will point my kids in God's direction, because that's more important than what I want for them. God, I pray that we would not curse our kids with jobs that they have to do when they grow up, and they wouldn't be the person who says, I hate it, but I do it because they made me. Or I hate it because I did it for the money. they would be parents in the future, and we would be grandparents who would celebrate your movement in our families' lives. And I pray specifically now for those who aren't parents yet and know that that's part of their future. God, I pray that you would allow them to be so focused in on their own relationships with you that when children come, that would be the blessing. That it wouldn't have to be like redirecting like so many of us have to do, and it's difficult. They got a head start. And God, I pray for those who aren't parents who are here. I pray, God, that you would give them an amazing blessing of encouragement to those parents who are wiped. That they would be a voice from you to them to keep going. Those cheers on the sideline who invest in our kids when we're too tired to do it. And that they would be voices who speak truth and the instruction of the Lord. That their place in our church and in our kids and in our families is so valuable. I pray that you would release that. And God, as we take the opportunity to give back to you now, pray that our kids see this stuff, that they learn that honoring you through everything that we have, time, money, and resources, matters. I pray that you would allow our kids to follow our demonstration to be cheerful, abundant givers. Thank you, God, for this moment. Allow us to walk in the anointing you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray.